You know, reopening Wisconsin is not going to get very far without a reasonable, safe, and somewhat affordable way to reopen the state's child care services. We all know this. Republicans in this legislature have signed off on the Democratic governor's plan to pay out $2,500 grants to each child care provider. But by one count from the Economic Policy Institute, child care in Wisconsin averages more than $1,000 a month for families. The Morning Show on the Ideas Network, and I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent. How are we going to do this? What's child care in a pandemic supposed to look like? I'm certain parents have some ideas about this, and certainly care providers, so here's the avenue for you at 1-800-642-1234. If you don't want to talk about it, let us know your thoughts at ideas@WPR.org or tweet at us, WPR Mornings. Our guest is the executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. It's an organization that advocates for and assists child care providers and families. Ruth Schmidt, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So this is a big looming question as the state looks to reopen and many look to return to work. Child care centers are in the same boat. What does reopening their doors look like, Ruth?
So throughout the COVID pandemic, child care programs were encouraged to remain open at a dramatically reduced capacity in order to serve the needs of children of essential workers. And so we do have some programs that managed to stay open throughout the pandemic, but what we do know is that close to 55% of group child care programs, so these are programs that serve typically over 10 children. They can be quite large. They can go up to 300 children in some cases. And the majority of those closed. And what we know is that in order for the economy in Wisconsin to reopen and for parents to be able to return to work, especially at a time when schools have been closed, we do know that there's going to be a dramatic need for child care. What we're hoping is that through a series of payments through the Child Care Counts program that the state of Wisconsin Department of Children and Families has up and running, along with programs having successfully applied for PPP loans and other types of COVID relief response that was available to them, that we will see some programs be able to reopen. However, we're very worried about them being able to operate under capacity of enrolled children. It's very hard for programs that were already operating on razor-thin margins to figure out how to cover their costs at a time when we expect that there will be far fewer kids in care, at least in the near term.
Are there any guidelines for how child care centers should be reopening in Wisconsin?
There's significant guidance that's been prepared by a variety of resources. So the Department of Children and Families they have an emergency COVID pages for child care providers, for parents, for essential workers. And that does give out quite a bit of guidance. They've been doing updates to child care programs twice a week with the latest on any emergency orders, any suspension of any regulations that have been allowed in Wisconsin. And so the department is attempting, I think, to stay in very regular communication with child care programs to support them in doing this. Additionally, my organization, several of the staff that work at WECA, along with colleagues from around the state, prepared a reopening or operating during COVID guidance, which can be found on our website.
Okay.
It's about a 35-page document, and it covers everything from federal resources available, state resources, changes in guidelines, health and safety protocols, checklists for programs to use, where to find supplies. It's a very rich resource that really walks child care programs, whether you're a group program or whether you provide care out of your home. It walks you through sort of best guidance around safe reopening and operating during COVID.
You said WECA before. I just want to make clear that's Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, of which you are the executive director, Ruth Schmidt, our guest. And the links to that can be found on our website at WPR.org/mornings. And still interested in hearing from parents and providers alike about their how they envision childcare in the not-so-distant future. And Ruth, so it starts with a deep cleaning. Obviously, we've got to go through and we've got to get everything clean. And then as we look to bring kids back in, how can we protect them and the child care providers at the same time? Is there such a thing of social distancing among children?
Do you have children?
It was a rhetorical question. I understand.
Have you ever watched a group of kids? No. The really important learning that is happening in young children is social emotional learning. And they learn that through groups of people, right? They learn that by observing their peers, by interacting with their peers, by important adult-child relationships that you see working in childcare programs when you see the teachers down on the floor helping to guide children's behavior. It is virtually impossible to do social distancing with young children. Potentially as they reach school age or middle school age, it's a teeny bit easier. But that's simply not going to be the reality in childcare. And it's also not going to be the reality that you can have teachers who are socially distant from the children they're caring for. So there's certain things that I think childcare programs can put in place. There are protocols they can take when children are being dropped off in the morning. They can take temperatures, assuming they can purchase the thermometers that are needed for that. The no-touch thermometers, so they can take temperatures of their staff, they can take temperatures of the children coming in, and they can do that multiple times a day. They can do significant break times to do hand washing of all children. They can certainly, when you talked about doing sort of a cleaning of everything in the building, when you're talking about childcare, you're talking about cleaning multiple times a day. This isn't where you can clean once and be done with it. It is a constant battle of doing disinfecting. Programs can get rid of any and all plush toys that they have in their program or any toys that have fabric and material on them that is going to be hard to clean. So there are a lot of protocols that programs can put in place, whether or not you allow parents and other adults on your site when they drop their children off in the morning, or whether you do a curbside type of program. You can certainly try and limit your group sizes to have children in a variety of settings within your childcare program. You can have a small group outside. You can have a small group in your reading, sort of literacy section of your classroom. You can have a small group in your area of the classroom that is going to be about pretend play and exploring different ways of social settings that way. So I think those are the sort of things that childcare programs can do. But if anyone is thinking that we're going to have childcare programs that are operating with social distancing, they need to sort of let go of that thought.
The children. Ruth Schmidt is the executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. It's an organization advocating for and assisting child care providers and families. And you talked about the margins of child care and how slim they are. We all know that those child care providers are underpaid and they work tirelessly on behalf of our children. It was last week when the governor announced that the state was allocating millions of dollars from the Federal CARES Act for small businesses to help them reopen and recover from pandemic-related losses. Included in that is $51 million for child care centers. And Ruth, where do you see that money going?
So the $51 million, which came from the feds to the state of Wisconsin and is designated for child care, is going to go to three primary payment measures. So there is probably about two-thirds of that funding will go to open child care programs, so programs that have been operating throughout the COVID crisis. And it will pay sort of a base payment to a child care program. If you're a group program, it'll pay you $9,000. And for a family child care program, it'll pay you $6,000 for remaining open. And then you can get a $1,200 per child payment if you are working with children of essential workers. The second payment is an incentive pay, and this is for individuals who have been providing care during this time. So this is a way that your staff can receive an additional $5 an hour for the time that they were caring for children of essential workers. And then the third one is supporting temporarily closed child care programs. So this is a payment that is given out to a child care program with a maximum of up to $10,000. That is if you are planning to open within the next 30 days. And so each of these three sort of payment measures is retroactive back to March 12th. And the funding should cover approximately 10 weeks of time. And so this should be, especially for those programs that have remained open, this should be a real boost in the arm, sort of, because so many of those programs have been operating dramatically under capacity. And so the revenue simply have not been coming in to be able to pay your staff, to pay your mortgages.
Sure, but we've looked at increased costs that are going to be required in order to keep our children and child care providers safe. Ruth, is this going to be enough?
This is no. And I say that acknowledging that it is amazing that the federal government did this and that Wisconsin is getting this money out the door. It's a really good thing. It is definitely not enough.
And that's from the perspective of child care providers, and that's on behalf of our children. But it's a start, and it's something. And it is an opportunity for us to all participate in reimagining, re-envisioning what child care should look like in a way that keeps us safe, in a way that protects our children, in a way that we can find a way to afford. And if you've got a perspective, we've got a line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Sound off via email at ideas@WPR.org. Ruth Schmidt stays with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, and we may hear from you as well. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. All these tantrums all these disruptions in our lives have been very difficult for adults. We've seen their tantrums go viral, and we've seen children looking on disapprovingly as adults throw tantrums. I can only imagine how uncertain our world must seem to them, you know, through a child's eyes. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and although these changes have been shocking, at least this grown-up's reassured regularly by these changes, because so many people became so concerned so fast and wanted to do whatever they could to help others, even if all they could do for a while was nothing at all. Yeah, but the changes continue, as does the need for help and the people committed to it. So what does need to be done about child care in Wisconsin? What does the future in the immediate future look like? 1-800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. Ruth Schmidt is our guest, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. And let's go to Mark and Kimberly now. Mark, you're on The Morning Show. Good morning.
Well, the virus is spread by novel contacts. It's all this mixing that goes on in big groups. And with the preschoolers, I think you could put little wristbands on them, different colors, yellows and the green group, and then just stick with that day after day. And then, you know, put a divider down the playground and yellows on one side, greens on the others. Use the rooms that way to keep them segregated, for weeks.
And for their own physical health. I appreciate the perspective, Mark. And that's a perspective on physical health, but I can't help but wonder what that would do to emotional health, Ruth.
So one thing to keep in mind is that most childcare programs are sort of age segregated, and they're in very small groups. So for infants, you usually have four infants with one adult, and then it gradually and slowly increases. So toddlers might be six toddlers to an adult. And so these are going to be small groups of children with designated adults, and they stay in those settings. They do not, that when they go out for playground time, assuming the playground is open at the time, they go out only in their small group. So for the most part, we do see that kind of sort of age segregated, group segregated things happening. And I want to say that in terms of sort of emotionally what's happening with young children at this time, the important part is that they have nurturing adult relationships. And that is what early childhood educators are trained for. And if they've taken credit-based education, that's what it's about. It's about meeting those needs, those emotional, social needs of young children as they're learning. So I think a child care program is a really good place for that to be happening, for stressed out children to be and have their needs met.
Let's take a moment to talk about the child care providers and the people who are working with our kids in our child care facilities. And what are you hearing from them, Ruth Schmidt? What do they tell you about this time?
So we hear incredibly sad stories coming out of child care programs. Obviously, we hear stories of hope in terms of those that have stayed open. They have an incredible dedication to the work that they're doing. But I think the hard thing is they have a concern about their staff. This is a workforce that was already dramatically undercompensated, making, you know, around $10 an hour, exposed to every childhood illness. They are concerned about having young children that might be asymptomatic in their programs and other children getting ill. And so, it can't be overlooked when you talk about sort of the health of children. We also have to be really concerned about the health of their caregivers, both the physical and the mental health of their caregivers. And when you're talking about such an under-resourced industry, what we really need in Wisconsin and in states across our nation is for ongoing significant public support of early education. We do it for our school agers. We need to find a way to do this for young children because working parents are stressed out, kids are stressed out with COVID, and the people that are providing that primary care are working on a shoestring to make this happen. And families have no more that they can give. We really need government to continue to step to the plate on this one.
Ruth Schmidt is the executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. It's an organization advocating for and assisting child care providers and families. And as families look to potentially get back to work here, where would they begin to look for child care right now, Ruth?
So there are several sites they can go to look for care. They can certainly go to the DCF, Department of Children and Families website. And if you go to the Department of Children and Families website, you can find guidance for seeking care. There's actual maps of available care around the state. You can put in your own information, what you're looking for, and it gives you several options of programs that you can be matched to that you could call and consider looking for care there. We also have a system of child care resource and referral organizations. You can certainly go to the website of Supporting Families Together Association and find out where those child care resource and referrals are. And they exist in large part to help support parents in looking for the best possible care that could be available for their children. So that's an excellent resource. Those are the two probably top resources for families to use as they're looking. Obviously, word of mouth at this time is also critical. Talk to other parents that have their children in care. Find out recommendations about programs that you've been really satisfied with. Go and, if possible, do a tour of the program or talk to the director. Those are all steps you can take.
How are we prepared here for getting back to work and reopening our child care centers? How well suited is the child care center workforce in our state? Do we have enough employees and centers to meet our needs?
I would say no. I mean, we had a shortage going into this. We had a turnover rate of the child care workforce of pushing 40% a year, 4 out of 10 teachers leaving their work. Mostly because compensation is low. They don't have access to often health insurance and other benefits that many of us take for granted. Often they don't have paid leave time for their own needs. And so we already had a dramatic shortage of childcare going into this. Over half of our state was marked as a childcare desert. in terms of not having adequate care available for working families. Mm-hmm. COVID has simply taken that and sort of blown the lid off of it. And we are not at all sure what we're going to find as childcare begins to reopen. This is a national dialogue. This is something that our federal government is paying attention to, that states are paying attention to. You pretty much can't go to the media these days and not see stories about what are we going to do about helping childcare reopen. It's a real critical issue for us.
Is childcare a right? Do we say that childcare is a right? Or is it a necessity?
I would love to see us say that it is a right for all families with young children to be able to access affordable care. I think that would be amazing.
The coronavirus has certainly disrupted just about darn near everything, Ruth Schmidt. But as we look to put the pieces back together, do you find some opportunities in these disruptions? Do you find some changes in childcare that going forward may be for the better?
So I think this is an opportunity for childcare to really be heard and for different audiences to pay attention, for business, for economic development, for our government to really take note of the fact that without childcare that is affordable and accessible and safe, parents will not be able to return to work. So from an advocacy perspective, from a policy and a public investment perspective, I think there are critical lessons that we're learning and ways to shape campaigns to see that improved.
So a right or a necessity may be irrelevant, but when it comes time to putting the pieces back together, one of the fundamental pieces will have to be childcare in one way or another, no matter what.
Yes.
Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, joining us this morning. And on behalf of all the children, Ruth, thank you so much for your work and the work of all of our selfless child care providers. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
For child care providers, we've included links on our website to the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association reopening guidelines and suggestions. We also posted a link to the Department of Children and Families page that lists information about the emergency payment program. Both of those links can be found on the Morning Show website at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Lee Rayburn, sitting in for Kate Archer Kent this morning, and you are listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.